Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it is Dave Plyer here in for Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show live from the Allstate Showcase Studios on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. And joining me are the experts because I got a guy. I'm not the expert here, but these guys are Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry, Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dave.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great. You know, it's you've been doing this almost as long as Lou's been doing it, haven't you?
Well, not quite, but it's got to be about 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. But we were talking in the green room, Mike, about the legendary host of Extension 720, which was Milt Rosenberg, and that's the guy that kind of gave you some exposure on the air, right?
Yeah, it was probably about 20 years ago. I had dinner with Lou, and we were just talking. He had mentioned Milt wanted a contractor to interview on the show, and he asked if I was interested.
That's awesome.
Yeah, of course, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And did the show and had a great time. The guy was awesome. He's like this computer brain kind of guy. And we had a great show. He actually asked me back a few weeks later. We did another one. And
that's great.
Then Lou said, oh, maybe I'll try him on my show. Been doing it ever since.
That's great. That's great. Tell us a little bit about your business, Creative Carpentry.
We're a full-service remodeling company. Been in business about 30 years now and do primarily residential, but we do some commercial work. And yeah,
good stuff.
Making a living, you know.
CreativeCarpentry.net for you. And Jim, tell us about Tate Enterprises.
Yeah, I did. I haven't been doing it quite as long as Mike. I actually got my start here through, I did Lou's House Smart shows. I did three episodes with him on that, featuring a couple different, couple of segments called Should a Homeowner Try This, like, on Their Own? So we did crown molding, which is always, if you're vertically challenged or have a hard time thinking upside down and backwards, yes, is always challenging for a homeowner. And then did another show on wainscoting in, I forget what the third show was, but yeah, so that was kind of my start, and so Lou and I connected that way, and then same thing, kind of he asked me to help out with the show. We also are a full-service remodeling company. We're out of Hinsdale. We do mostly residential interior remodelers, or interior remodeling, including room additions.
And so it's Tate Enterprises. It's TateENT.com, correct?
That's right. Thank you.
Fabulous. Absolutely. And we're going to be taking your calls all morning long, 312-981-7200. We're going to have a couple guests that come through the studio this morning. One is from Weber Grill. As cold as it is outside, there's a lot of people still grilling year-round. And it's also a great time of the year to maybe pull that grill into the garage and replace some parts and do some of those other things. We're also going to be giving away a Weber Q grill at about 8:45. And then we're going to talk to the folks from Bosch Tools on some of their measuring tools at about 9:20. But 312-981-7200. We're going to take our first call here. Virginia from Park Ridge. Good morning. You're on 720 WGN.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. What's going on? What's going on with your tub?
Okay. If I want to take a bath, I want to turn the hot water on, it doesn't come out, or the cold water, but the shower, the water comes out.
That sounds like the mixing valve is clogged, possibly. You're not getting tub spout, you're getting shower only?
Shower only, yeah.
Or the diverter's stuck?
Yeah, I would try. How handy are you? Pretty handy?
No.
Get your tool pouch.
Okay. Yeah. So what I would probably start with, if it were me, being that you're getting water out of the spout but not the shower head, I would probably try taking the shower head off.
It's the other way, right? Are you getting tub water or shower water?
Shower water.
Okay. Oh, you're getting shower water.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you have a little diverter plug on your spout where you lift it up and it'll go to the shower. Is that correct? Or is it in the mixing valve itself? How do you make the shower turn on?
It's a knob.
It's a knob. Is that on the spout or on the mixing valve?
It's separate.
Okay. Because that's probably stuck. Because normally when you turn on your water, it should come out the tub spout automatically, and then you do that diverter valve would change it to the shower head. So if you're going right to the shower head, it sounds like that diverter valve is sticking. Does that make sense?
Yes, because it used to work.
Yeah. So can you move that diverter valve at all? Does it move in and out or anything?
No.
Okay, yeah, it's probably stuck. You probably best, I'm thinking, call a plumber to come out because he's probably got to pull that apart and see what's going on. It all depends on what manufacturer, what that whole situation is. Some of them are very simple. Some of them are a little more complex.
Okay.
So, but that sounds like the problem. The diverter valve stuck.
Okay.
All right. Your voice really changed, though. do you have a sip of coffee?
In the course of that call. Yeah. Thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely. Lou, you're on 720 WGN. Is this Lou Manfredini calling from a beach?
He's checking up on us.
Lou, you there?
Oh, he's giving us a silent treatment.
Oh, yeah, nice. Gary, you're on 720 WGN. How are you this morning?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, Gary. Good morning to you.
Yeah. Okay, I have a garage that was converted into a living area. The problem is the cement floor is really rough and everything, and I'm trying to think of what I could put down that'd be easy and simple, so since it's going to be a living area, some kind of a carpeting or what do you suggest? Do they have any good carpeting that's like carpet squares or anything now? That would be good because of the moisture and stuff.
How living space do you want to make it? Is it kind of just a little rec room area, or is it?
Oh, that's like a 12 by 24 right now. It's got a bathroom and everything in it.
But they just used the concrete floor originally? That's what you're still using, the garage-type floor on it?
Yeah.
Do you step down into the space from the rest of the house then?
Yes, three steps.
Because, you could put carpet and padding down or carpet squares, or you could do a floating floor framing and raise that up a little bit so it's not quite so cold. You could insulate that and then put virtually anything on top of that.
Yeah, but I just don't want to lay it down or anything. I just want something that's real simple. I just wonder about those carpet squares. Are they appropriate? Do they pretty good for...
I have them in my basement. I have three young kids, though, so I did it more from a practical perspective. So when the kids spill something on them, but the carpet squares are really easy to work with, and a lot of commercial buildings use them, and you can use them over concrete. I will say, as Mike was kind of pointing out, the padding on them is not the same as the same padding that they use when they lay carpet wall to wall. So it is not as plush, if you will, as a normal carpet installation, but it is easy to work with and easy to pull them up if they get dirty.
The only thing is you probably need to seal that concrete before you do it because you don't want that condensation to come up.
It's a good idea, yeah.
All right?
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Jim, you're on 720 WGN. What's going on? You're doing a little conversion in your shower and your tub?
Yes, sir. There's so many companies out there that do it. I want to go from a tub to a shower. And they're always saying, the one-day installation and all that, and then you read the reviews on them. And a lot of them have trouble with seeping water out the, the sides or whatever, or on the bottom. Would you guys know a good company that does that, because it's supposed to be a sealed unit, I thought.
Well, are you looking at taking out a tub and turning it into a shower? So you got just a low shower threshold? Is that what you want?
Exactly.
Well, there's a couple methods you could do. I think one of the ones you're talking about would be like fiberglass or acrylic type unit. In most cases at this point, though, you would have to go to a remodeler's version, which means it's two or three pieces because you won't be able to get it into the house. New construction, they make it all one piece, but they build it in. So you could go to that route, or you can certainly go into a fiberglass shower basin, wall tile, or solid surface. There's all kinds of things. So there's really not a resurfacing company that I'm aware of that would do something like that.
Not in a day, no.
That's not in a day kind of project. They're just taking the same thing and sprucing it up. So it probably is not going to work that way.
Okay. Okay, because I don't know if you guys ever heard of Tiger Direct or Bat Solutions.
No.
Yeah. They're all the time one-day conversion.
Usually, though, those are they're resurfacing your tub, your existing tub, and your wall tile, and that they're not putting in new. You're not getting a brand new tub typically.
Sir.
Yeah.
No. This is totally putting in like a shower, a step-in shower.
Well, all I would do is your homework and check on their reviews and things like that. Basically, any remodeler is going to do that. It's just in a day normally a remodel like that is not going to take a day. There's plumbing to change around, things like that. I would be very surprised if they could do it in a day, even 2 days. It's just not feasible.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you very much. I'll read some more reviews.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jim. All right, so, it's a tradition that when we're in the studio that we do breakfast and bloodies.
Yeah, you try to get us all liquored up, don't you?
I think it's the right thing to do. we're going to be, who's providing it today is Holtz in Park Ridge, and we're going to be giving away a couple gift cards from them. We're going to do one, a $50 gift card after the break, when we take your calls, 312-981-7200. So if you got a question for Mike and Jim, one of you might win one of those $50 gift cards if you give us a call now, 312-981-7200. And this segment also sponsored by Ace Hardware. All right, it's Dave Flyer in for Lou Manfredini. I'm with Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry, Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. I got two guys in here that are going to make it all happen. And we're going to give away a $50 gift card to Holtz Restaurant in Park Ridge. Great breakfast, great brunch, great dinners, great pizzas. We're going to do that. Let's see who it is. Jeff, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you. Jeff, are you there, buddy?
Can you hear me?
There you are. Yes, I can. Jeff, tell me, you got a shower drain leak going on, huh?
Yeah, so it doesn't happen all the time. My shower drain actually there's an opening underneath that goes to the basement. But if you stand in certain spots, it seems like every once in a while there's actually a leak from where the PVC goes up into the drain screw-in up there. There's somehow a leak in there. And I'm wondering, can I screw out the part that goes into the tub and then screws down into the bottom to tighten up the tub to that PVC? Or would I have to cut that PVC out of the bottom of the tub and redo that whole thing?
It's a good question. To be honest with you, there's several different versions of that. Is it a fiberglass shower drain?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So well, a shower drain?
PVC.
No, I think it's a PVC.
The base itself is
a shower tub. Is this a tub or a shower?
It's a shower. It's just a shower.
It's not a tub unit. Okay, so it's a fiberglass shower base
with a PVC drain.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yes. Correct.
So there's a couple of different versions of the way that 2-inch PVC connects up to that shower. There's one where there's a big nut underneath there that kind of clamps it down and pulls some, what they call plumber's putty in between that fiberglass and the that bell, which is what connects the 2-inch PVC. There's another kind where where the 2-inch drain kind of slips up from underneath and there's a thick rubber gasket that gets pushed down inside there.
Usually that's a metal collar, a brass collar. If you pull up the grate on the shower floor, you'll see a brass collar. Usually if it's brass, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah. But to answer your question, most of all of those come apart. So you can take it apart, and if you mess it up, they are replaceable. So you can go to an Ace Hardware or a big box store, and you can replace that whole assembly if you run into trouble. But my guess is, if I were to guess what's leaking on that, just based on what you're saying, I would guess that it's probably the connection between the drain and the fiberglass base. So probably the putty in there, Mike. But, or there could be a crack in the fiberglass.
Yes, I was going to say, the worst case is if you go and take that drain assembly apart, you may see a little hairline crack right where the opening is for the drain on the shower base.
Okay.
Sometimes if you take that grate off and you look down, you got to look really close, but you might see a little hairline crack because you're saying that sometimes it depends where you stand. So if you're standing on one side, you might be putting enough weight that that crack opens up a little bit and it's letting water go by. If that's the case, then you're probably just going to have to replace the shower base, which is basically replace the whole shower.
Right. Okay. So you wouldn't be able to put like silicone or anything like that to try to fill that in then?
It would be a very short-term repair.
Okay.
Short-term.
Jeff, I feel so bad about your shower leak. How about a $50 gift card to Holt's Restaurant in Park Ridge?
A Bloody Mary will make it all go away.
That's right. Exactly. Hang on a line.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's very kind of you.
Absolutely. Hang on the line, Jeff Casero will get your information. Hang on one second. Don't you think that kind of makes things go away?
Yeah, it does.
It probably doesn't make for a productive Saturday, though.
About as long as that silicone repair will last.
That's about right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what. Ed, Jim, Mike, you're all on the line. Hang on, and we'll be right back taking more of your calls, 312-981-7200. It's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN. And good morning to you. It's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show here on 720 WGN, along with our experts, because these are the only guys that are making it happen here, and that's Mike and Jim. Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. 312-981-7200 is the number you can call. Frank, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I am fabulous. What's going on with your tub, buddy?
I just moved into a home. The home's about 40 years old. And on the porcelain tub, there's about 100 dots where it looks like a bath mat used to be, like a non-slip bath mat, and they pulled it up, but you still have the remnants of dots that are about the size of a quarter. There's about 100 of them on the bottom of the tub, and I want to know if there's something I could do to remove those. And those dots, they don't have any non-slip properties to them at all. They're just areas where the suction cups used to be.
I do not do the house cleaning in my house. Let me be clear on that.
Okay.
So clear. So I will. Logically thinking through it, I think that if it were me, I would probably try CLR. The thought being is that what actually those dots are is from water being stuck in that area, you know, around those cups. And maybe it's a buildup of calcium and lime that is actually what you're seeing on the tub, and a little CLR on there. Let it sit on there for a little while and see if that absorbs it up and removes it.
If that doesn't work, I would try just take a paper towel, because that's a mild abrasive, and toothpaste, and just do a little rubbing with that and see if that's enough. Because anything you do to, if you use an abrasive of some sort, you can change the sheen on the tub. So you'll have like a real shiny area in one spot and not quite as shiny in another. So there'll be like what they call flashing of it. But yeah, I'd try like the CLR first, because that's not abrasive. Then try a paper towel and toothpaste.
When I run my hand across the dots, I don't feel any deposits of lime or any kind of calcium. And if I close my eyes, I can't even really tell that the dots are there when I swipe my hand back and forth over them. So I'm really puzzled by this. I've used Comet. I've used Ajax to try to cleanse it, to try to see if it's just a surface stain. But I've had no success, and I'm really puzzled by this.
Yeah, it's very possible that the mat that was on there had some color in it, and it just bled into. Is it a porcelain fixture?
Yeah,
it's very possible that the mat that was in there actually had some colorant, and years and years and years of it sitting on there, it bled into the porcelain.
And that you're not going to buff
out. It's not good. That won't buff out. So I would try the CLR. I would try the CLR because that also can pull it out, you know what I mean? Because it's chemical, it can actually pull it out of the porcelain as opposed to, you know, anything that's surface-related.
There we go. Thanks for the call, Frank. Appreciate it, pal. Have a great Saturday. Ed, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Hey, this is Ed.
Yeah, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's going on, pal?
Well, I've got a 50-year-old house. It has a zoned heating system, single furnace, three different ducts with dampers in there. And the dampers are kind of sticky. They're not opening and closing properly, and it's kind of affecting the damper motors and the like. So I need to lube it, and everything I look at cautions use it with plenty of ventilation and all that stuff. So I'm wondering what can I lube it with?
That's a great question. I actually have zone dampers in my house, and I've never heard them. I mean, I know when they're opening and closing based on supply and demand. I'm not really sure on that, but that is one that I could take your name and number, and I could check with my HVAC guy and get back to you on that. I've never had to do that, but I have zone dampers also. I've just not something I've seen done.
Okay.
Do you have any experience with that, Mike?
I do not, no. Yeah.
Okay, and then I guess the second part is, if I have to replace them, where would I get them? So if your HVAC guy can provide that information too, that'd be terrific.
Sure. I'll have our producer get your name and number, and I can follow up with you on that on both of those.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Thanks buddy. We'll put you on hold. Hang on one second. Jim, you're on 720 WGN. You got a frozen gas intake valve.
Yes. Have you heard of that? And what can we do to prevent it?
I need some more information. Like, what? Tell me what exactly that means. Frozen gas intake valve. Is this on the furnace or?
Supposedly, it's coming in from the house. Everybody, from the outside. Everybody in the neighborhood has the same type of ranch style home, and our neighbor said that her gas intake valve was frozen and she wasn't getting any heat. So,
was she able to use her stove?
Supposedly, the whole house got down to like 50 degrees, and no gas was coming in.
Well, that, I think you need to call the gas company on that, because that's not something that you can take care of. And I wouldn't say apply heat to it to warm it up.
Uh-huh.
If it's actually the gas meter on the outside of the house, then I would call a gas company.
Okay.
Yeah, because there would have to be moisture in there. Gas itself doesn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't freeze in this temperature. There would have to be some moisture in there that is freezing.
I see. Okay.
So, all right.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Have a great Saturday, buddy. All right. Irene, good morning. You're on 720 WGN.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent on this Saturday morning. What's happening?
Okay. So we had a bath remodel about a year ago, and when you, it's a bath shower combo. So when you go ahead and turn the water on, for the bath, that faucet, it's pretty loud. And I don't know if there's just like a pressure cartridge or something. I mean, you can hear it within the adjacent bedroom, down the hall. But as soon as you hit the valve for the shower, it is so quiet. So I don't know what the problem is. It's annoying to everybody in the house how loud it is when you're just starting. And then when you hit the valve for the shower, it's so quiet. Nobody hears the shower running.
When you say loud, are you saying just the sound of water or like a knocking?
No, there's no knocking. Okay. It's just like in the walls. It's like
The tub spout does not have any restriction to it. Like a shower head does. So when you turn that on, you have water full force coming out of it. When you turn it on to the shower by code now has to be restricted down to a 2.5 gallons per minute. So it's not running nearly as fast. So what you may be hearing is just the water flushing through quickly.
Well, before we had the remodel, it never sounded that way.
How old's the house?
Probably about 35, 40.
Because, I mean, it could be just the technology is different. It could be that some of those water lines were starting to fill with mineral deposits, so you weren't getting as much water flow through to that shower before. And, you know,
if the water was restricted before, because of the old pipes and everything, wouldn't it be loud at that point? And then with new technology, would be, you know.
Well, before when it was restricted, there wasn't as much water coming through that pipe. Now they've redone it. it's kind of opened all of those up again. So when you turn on the tub spout, you have a blast of full pressure water coming out of there where you may not have before. And then as soon as you turn it to the shower head, now it's going back to restricted by code. So the water isn't flowing through the pipes so fast.
I mean, it's like anybody who takes a shower, you can hear it like three floors down that somebody's taking a shower where before you couldn't hear it like that.
So it's not
like a pressure cartridge or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's also possible that when they did the renovation, they removed some insulation, which was doing some sound blocking, and when they redid the plumbing, that insulation got removed that was, you know, condensing that sound, and after the while the renovation was going on, it wasn't reinstalled, therefore it's much, much louder in the walls now as well. That's also possible.
So we are planning another bathroom remodel, which butts up to this bathroom that had just been done. So your advice maybe would be to add some insulation once we open that wall, because it's going to be...
And certainly tell the new contractor, or the same, if it's the problem that you're having with the old bathroom, so that they, when they open up those walls, they might be able to address it. You know, they might see something there. They'll at least be aware of it and look for a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing they could also... the other thing they could also do is they could... If the plumbing is, which is normally is, but if the plumbing is attached to the wall and what you're experiencing and what you'd like to have fixed is to cut down the noise, the other thing they could do is they could actually put some insulation between the plumbing and the framings, because typically all the plumbers connect the plumbing to the framing, but when you do that, it actually vibrates a little bit because there's water moving through there, and so maybe that's part of what you're hearing is the actual plumbing connected to the joist, which is resonating through the house, and again, they could pull that off, put some insulation between there so that it's not directly connected to the studs, and that might cut down on some of the noise as well. Does that make sense?
Okay, so it does. So, like, when we get this other shower remodeled, we might have that same sound happening. I mean, even if we insulate it, that's what to expect with the new technology.
I think what Mike is saying, it's key to let your contractor know that you're not that you are experiencing something different than you had before, and that you'd like them to look at while the wall is open.
Okay.
The technology doesn't necessarily make it happen. I'm just trying to give you, you know, we are given very limited information. We can't see it. So we're trying to come off the top of our head what it might be, and that was the first thing that comes to my head. But when you have the new bathroom done, talk to them about it. They can add insulation. They can make sure that everything's secured down the way it should be, and hopefully it can resolve your old problem and not have a problem with the new shower also.
Yeah, and being able to hear the exact sound that you're hearing with your contractor and saying, that's the noise I don't like.
Yes.
Then he can pinpoint it and say, okay, I can fix that by doing this.
Well, I believe what you said about the full flow of the water going in, because this remodel, the knob, it's like a lever knob. It doesn't allow any slow flow or full blast.
Full on or full off, yes.
Exactly. Whereas the shower that's right back to back with it, it's a circular knob where you could push in and out and you can control the amount of water coming in and out, where the other bathroom you can't.
So just let your new contractor know the situation, show him your issues, and I'm sure he can help you resolve that.
Thanks, Irene, for the call. Appreciate it. Have a great Saturday.
Thank you. You too, guys.
Okay, all right. Dan, Shirley, Frank, hang on the line, 312-981-7200. We'll be taking more of your calls. Plus, Lindsay left us with a new to loot, too. We'll do that next on 720 WGN. And it is Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini here on the Mr. Fix-It Show, along with Jim Sullivan and Mike Holmes. And we're going to take one more of your calls. Let's see here. Frank, good morning to you. You're on 720 WGN.
Yes, good morning, guys. I had a quick question. My humidifier, I just started it up for the season, and there's a pretty loud like banging when it comes on and off, like a water hammer effect. It's just a quarter-inch line that goes to the humidifier, and I'm wondering, do I need to put something in there to try to arrest the
water hammer, like maybe cut in a T and maybe put a little branch, a dead branch on there just to kind of soak that up?
Typically, you don't have to. There is a there's an electronic control valve that that opens and closes based on what the humidstat is telling it, based on the humidity level in the house. My guess is that either that doesn't have enough water to for it to open and close properly, or that valve could be going bad. It's mounted, if it's a April air humidifier, it's like right on the bottom, and it's actually where the wires go to, and the water goes into it as well.
Yeah, that wire, or the copper line that runs from your water system to the humidifier, it's going to connect right to that solenoid.
And you can replace that if I would try. I would let it run for a little bit and see if it stops, if enough water gets into it, and make sure the water is flowing. So open up the humidifier and see that you see water actually coming down the water panel. And if all that checks out, then I would probably replace the that control valve.
Okay, very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling in. All right, Lindsay left us with a new to Lou 2.
If you watch any of those home remodeling TV shows, then I'm sure you have seen some form of cement tile being installed. These are sometimes referred to as pattern tiles and are reminiscent of either a Mediterranean or New Orleans style, depending on the design. However, these tiles are making a comeback in a big way, so we thought we'd talk about them as this week's New to Lou 2. Cement tile is not only easy on the eyes, but it's also incredibly durable, which makes it the perfect investment to add a little handcrafted charm to any space. Not to mention, cement tiles are generally made individually using natural pigments, so they can be customized to your taste and needs of your space. These tiles are made using different colors of clay rather than glaze to create the patterns. As the tiles wear down, their unique design never fades away. Because the patterns tend to create a busy look if overused, they are usually seen and used a lot in bathroom floors, shower walls, and kitchen backsplashes. There are so many tips, tricks, and inspiring photos on how you can use cement tiles. So do a little Google search or keep listening as our Mr. Fix-It filler-inners tell you a little bit more. Boys.
Thanks, Lindsay, for leaving that for us. So, guys, we've got this out. If you're watching on WGNradio.com, we've got them actually sitting behind us on the floor here. But they create some really cool patterns. So they're 8-inch tiles, Jim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're 8-inch. Everyone I've seen comes in 8-inch by 8-inch. And, yeah, what I think what's different about it, again, as a remodeler, and Mike is the same way because he was just showing us his island, that slab that just went in. As a remodeler, you're always looking for something a little unique and a little different than that not everybody has. So yeah. We're kind of always looking for new stuff for to advise to our homeowners. But these are making a comeback, and I brought some in, and I know the listeners can't see them, but really neat about them.
WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, if you tune in, go online. What's really neat about them is the colors are striking.
Yeah.
And when you put them down, either in a backsplash or on a bathroom floor or whatever, they create these really unique designs that you just don't get in natural stone or in ceramic or porcelain or these kinds of things. And the colors that you get out of them, because they're handmade and because the pigment is the way it is, as you can see, it kind of goes through it. It really creates some great patterns. And so I brought one, that has some blue in it, and we're currently we're currently doing a laundry room, if you can envision this. We're currently doing a laundry room with kind of a blue cabinet, mm-hmm. and we're doing these on the floor.
Ooh, cool.
It really can create some pretty
well with
cool
the white looks. It really kind of pops that color in
exactly
here, but it's
exactly.
Cool that it creates that ongoing, so I mean this pretty much this pattern just can go on forever.
And there's if you just Google cement tiles or cement and caustic tiles, you will see that the patterns are endless. I mean, there are companies out there that make them in all different patterns, all different styles, and you can create a real geometrical look. You can create kind of a classic look. You can create kind of an old Victorian look, you know, like if you're doing it in your front hallway. Again, it's a lot of pattern, so I don't recommend it for your entire family room floor it's a little busy, but splashes of it really create
fireplace,
a lot
maybe
of
run a fireplace,
around a fireplace
yeah.
Exactly, create a lot of interest.
Bob Ferguson, our engineer, has it blown up on our WG WGNRadio.com screen. Awesome. So if you're on there, you can check it out.
Awesome.
The pattern layer is about maybe 3/16 mm-hmm. of an inch thick, mm-hmm. and then it's got a cement back to it. So the whole tile, though, is at least a half inch, isn't it?
5/8.
5/8 yeah. of an inch. So that is one thing you got to keep in mind, yeah. too, if you're going to use, especially on a floor. Mm-hmm. It's thicker than a traditional floor tile would be. But they are very unique, and like I said, you're not going to wear the pattern out.
No, very cool. No, very cool. And for more, you can check out WGNRadio.com. And we're going to be taking more of your calls and text 312-981-7200. And next half hour, I'm going to give away something. Let's see here. How about a three-room carpet cleaning from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning? 312-981-7200. Calls for Mike and Jim. It's $139 value, and we'll do that next on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show here on 720 WGN. By in, I'm the ringmaster. I've got two guys here, Mike Holmes, Jim Sullivan. Give us a little recap about your company's boys, Mike.
You make us sound like we're a zoo.
A little bit.
Creative Carpentry Remodelers, Inc. We're out of Bolingbrook and primarily residential remodeling, 30 years. And
your website?
Creativecarpentry.net.
Jim?
Jim Sullivan with Tate Enterprises. We're out of Hinsdale, and we are also a full-service remodeling company, and we are TateEnt.com with two E's in the middle.
Very cool. And we had a text come in, 224, asking about the tile again that we were just talking about. What's the brand, or where do you get it from? Where did you get your samples from?
Yep, I got these samples from the tile shop. The one I go to is in Countryside.
Okay.
So they have... They offer 7 different ones, but I believe they have more on the way. In other words, when I was there picking these up for the show, they had a display going that was filling in. So like I said, they're fairly new. That's where I got it.
There are some tricks to laying that tile, too. I was looking at it while we were in break, so you have to make sure you follow their guidelines.
Okay.
It's not traditional like a ceramic tile.
Okay, good to know. And they just dropped off the Bloody Marys from Holtz in Park Ridge.
Yes, they did. It's like breakfast in a glass.
I think Lindsay's a little ticked she's not here for the Bloody Marys, but it is. It's like the bacon, I think, does it for me. And then there's some cheese.
Pepper, cheese, and olives, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they got a great brunch, great breakfast, great dinners, too, at Holtz in Park Ridge. We're going to talk to them in a little while, so we thank them for feeding our hungry crew this morning. We're going to talk, let's see, take a call here. Let's talk to Dan. Dan, you've been waiting a long time. You got a boiler issue. Good morning. You're on 720 WGN.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I guess we're, to keep the trend going with noisy pipes, probably it's going on 5 years, installation of Wyoming McLean. And, I really haven't put my finger on exactly when, but if I were going to guess, there's about 4 different zones that we heat for the basement and the garage. And then we do domestic hot water for an ultra tank, a large, I think it's like 300-gallon tank. And I think when we're feeding water to the radiant heat and there's a call for water, there's a loud bang. And when I say loud, I mean a loud bang that goes on. And I'm wondering what you think that might be and... How I would go about diagnosing that.
Do you, so you have a central boiler that provides all the heating for the house as well as heats a hot water tank for your domestic hot water. Is that sum it up pretty well?
Yeah, it does the basement floor, but yeah, that's right.
Is it just the basement floor?
Well, there's like 4 different zones, the garage, there's a porch area, and then there's the basement floor. There's 3 zones there, so a total of I guess it's 5 zones.
Okay, so you also have a furnace then that heats the rest?
Yeah,
got it.
Yep.
And how often, if do you ever purge bleed any air out of the system?
We've tried to work with that, and it's actually happened from day one, I think. So when we originally filled it up with that glycol, it was purged, and I'm hoping there's an autofill where there's a tank that's got the glycol in it. So if for whatever reason it's run a little low, it pump that in. But,
okay.
But yeah, we have purged it recently. No, but this noise, it's pretty much happened. I think from day one, and it happens, you know, several times a day.
Yeah. So I'm always the first to point out, I am not an HVAC specialist. I do work in older homes that have boilers, and I can tell you that we had a similar situation in a house, and what we ended up doing was, they make pumps, so the hot water heat is pumped through those tubes, and so sometimes those pumps are a little oversized by the HVAC contractor, and that's not uncommon. You know, it's like if it really only needs, you know, a pump that can pump 3 gallons per minute, then a 5 gallon per minute pump is even better, you know. Sometimes what actually happens is it puts too much pressure in the pipe, particularly on startup, and when it does that, it actually makes the pipe move, and it can actually go move up and down in the holders that are connected to the joists and make it actually raise and then drop back down and slam. And so they make a couple of different, so there's a couple options if that's what you're experiencing, because it sounds like it could be based on what you're describing, because you have bled the air, you do have automatic fillers and all that kind of stuff, so you kind of ruled out the things that I had in my head. But you might also check about either trying to damper that pump down, or they also make what's called a modulating pump, which is kind of like a high-efficiency furnace, whereas it will pump at different gallons per minute based on the supply and demand of what the system is asking for. So sometimes it'll pump, you know, at 1 gallon per minute, but if there's a higher call for heat, it can modulate up to 5 gallons per minute. And so it's not so on-off. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That would be something else to look into.
Where the noise is coming from is there's a circulating pump. Well, there's one for each zone,
yep.
But there's a circulating pump that comes out of the I think for domestic hot water that kind of shoots the water around. But I think that's kind of where, because right after that there's like some kind of valve. I think there's a watchdog, I think, on it. I think that's where the noise is coming from, or somewhere in that neighborhood, if I were going to guess.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what that watchdog is.
Yeah.
But the circulating pump, again, we're bumping up against time, but the circulating pump is for your domestic hot water here. That has nothing to do with your hot water heat in the floor. That's more to keep hot water constant at your fixtures.
Yeah.
So that could be a whole other issue.
Dan, thanks so much for the call, buddy. And we're going to give you a 3-room carpet cleaning from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, providing a level of clean that no one else in the area can deliver. And you can visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. It's $139 dollar value. And stick on the line, and Casero will get you information, Dan.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Sorry about that. All right, and here we go. Shirley, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what is your question about some light bulbs?
Yes, I had the ComEd free home energy assessment, and when I got up at night, some of these bulbs were glowing that he put in. And what I surmised is that the bulbs that are glowing are on a dimmer switch. And one of the dimmer switches, I could see there's a light on behind that. Are these bulbs drawing electricity all the time?
Well, if there's a dimmer switch on that light, and you probably have LED lights now. Did you go through that program where they give you the LED lights?
Yes.
Yeah. LED lights are not all dimmer switches will dim them correctly.
You have to buy new dimmers.
Yeah. So it might be a situation that the dimmer that you have in there now is for incandescent lighting, and you need one that's for fluorescent or LED type lighting.
There are
different units. It's electronic.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if these lights are still going. How am I saving on electricity.
Well, even if those were still going to LEDs,
they're taking a lot less electricity.
Barely anything.
Yeah.
But if you turn the switch off completely, they should go all the way out. If they're just dimmed all the way down, they almost look like they're out, but they just have that little bit of a glow. Some of them, you'll get to a certain level, 40% dim, and then they just shut off. It just depends on that dimmer. I'm assuming that it's probably the dimmer switch.
Okay, so I know I have the dimmer all the way down and the light off, but that glow, you could only see it at night during the dark, so yeah. I would have to replace the dimmer switch for the new bulb.
I would try that on one of them and see if that does it, because the LEDs do require a different type of dimmer.
Thanks for the call, Shirley.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Gordon, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Is this me?
Yes, it's you, Gordon. Good morning to you. How are you, pal?
I had the same experience of water hammer with my April air when I first started the season. So I went down there and I looked, and the pad needed to be replaced. I replaced the pad, and then water started running out of the bottom. And then I did some more research and found out that the little plastic orifice that is at the end of the black tube that goes to the output of the solenoid had disintegrated after many years, probably. I've never replaced it, and it's been there for about 8 years or 10 years. So I replaced that little blue orifice on the tube, and the water hammer has now really pretty much all gone away.
Interesting.
All right.
All right.
I just want to share that.
You learn something new every day.
Thanks, Gordon. Appreciate it, buddy.
You're welcome.
All right. Lynn, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I have a house, a ranch on a slab, and I want to go to Florida for about 3-4 weeks. What do I have to do to make the house ready for it to be empty for that length of time?
Well, I would... I always recommend that you do shut the water off at the main before you leave. I assume you're going to leave the heat on in the house?
About how many degrees should I set it?
They say that I just heard this on the radio or TV the other day, but when it's this cold, the advice was not to let it go below 65 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. And, and particularly because you're on a slab, you're probably going to have spots around the perimeter that are a little bit colder, maybe like by your kitchen sink, where it's going to feel a little bit colder. And so 65 will keep, a better temperature throughout the house. But you'd also want to make sure to leave all your vanity doors open, your kitchen sink, cabinet open where the kitchen drain is and the water and that kind of stuff.
Also, open all the faucets. Once you shut off the main, open up all the faucets and leave those open so that there's room for the water to expand if it does start to freeze. And I also recommend you flush the toilets, after you shut the water off so you have no water in the tanks.
Look at that. Makes sense.
I have one more recommendation.
Yeah.
And again, it's just one of those things you don't often think about. Do you have internet in the house that you're going to be leaving, and will it be on?
No.
Okay.
I don't have internet.
Because a lot of the Wi-Fi thermostats now will send you an alert if the temperature drops below a certain degree in the house, which I think is key, particularly when you're not there.
Yeah, we went on vacation over the holidays and came back, and we have a Nest, and I didn't pay attention to the alerts that were coming, and I just kind of, and my son has the phone all the time, so he keeps swiping them away so I can't see them. And I walked into the house, and it was 53 degrees.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to people.
Yeah, because things happen. I mean, furnaces go bad, and it can happen, in the middle of the winter. And you wouldn't know. And so, to get an alert from your thermostat is great. So Lynn, you might consider that.
Absolutely. Lynn, thanks for the call. 2847 has a question. How do you make the shower head output, it just moved on me here. Hold on a second here. Output more water pressure. Output is just not enough.
So Mike was talking earlier that way back years ago, the government regulated or put regulations on how much water usage each fixture can have. So a toilet cannot consume more than 1.6 gallons per flush. You can find now that there are some toilets that use even less than that, but 1.6 was the starting point. Shower heads are limited to 2.5 gallons per minute. Some of those restrictors can be removed. They are not easily removed, and kind of like
you're not supposed to.
Yes, and kind of like your car, if you start pulling the computer out of your car and replace it with a different computer, you voided the warranty. So it's always tricky, and I do have customers ask me from time to time about removing the restrictor and stuff like that, and I'm kind of hesitant to do it. And but it really requires someone to take the fixture off, look at what is restricting the flow, and decide whether A, if it really messes up the flow of water once I remove. This can I put another one back in? So it's not an easy thing to do, and at the end of the day, it's designed to conserve water. Energy,
yes. Right?
Conserve exactly. Water. So
voices you're hearing are Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises, and we'll be taking more calls and texts 312-981-7200 after this on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer filling in for Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show this morning, and as you guys know, it's a tradition. We have to do some Bloody Marys in here. Because we're here for 3-4 hours hanging out, right? Oh, let me turn your mic on.
Oh, hi.
There we go. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning to you. So today we've got Holtz from Park Ridge in here, complete with Bloody Marys and a fabulous breakfast. And to talk about it all is one of the proprietors, and that's Brad Doyle. Good morning, Brad.
Morning, Dave.
Thanks
for having us back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, this is what I love about your brunches and breakfasts and stuff, is that when people hear the word brunch, they think fancy, they think expensive. That's not the case there, and it's a fabulous array of choices for your weekend.
It is, yeah. We've been open for about 2.5 years, and we've been doing brunch for about 2 years of that time, and it's been a huge success. A lot of comfort food, and
yeah, perfect.
Best
for this
thing
time
about
of
brunch
year.
Is you always get to pick sweet or savory, so we have a lot of stuff that you can split, get a little bit of both, and of course Bloody Marys, bottomless mimosas. You got to have those with brunch. So
you had we had a couple things here. So you do your own homemade blueberry muffins, but then you grilled them.
Yeah, so we do, and our blueberry muffins are fantastic.
They are awesome.
Yeah, that was so good, wasn't
that
it?
That was good.
Because it caramelized the blueberries, yeah, and the sugars,
yeah,
a little bit.
Crunchy.
Yeah,
crunchy.
Yeah.
And everybody, our guests love the blueberry muffins so much, we decided to basically turn it into a French toast. So we,
yeah,
make the batter, make a traditional, basically bake it in a pan and then make a traditional French toast out of it. It's just super decadent, delicious.
Yeah, so this French toast, you did all kinds of stuff. There's, you know, bananas and the strawberries and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, that's
it's a whole
that's
tower.
Definitely a cheap meal. Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good. But you're also open for dinners, too, and great pizzas, very unique pizzas in there,
thank
but
you.
Some great sandwiches. You got really good, you said comfort food. You got the tomato soup and grilled cheese, something Mom used to make on Friday nights. You got a good pepper and egg sandwich.
Yeah.
There's a great selection on the menu for dinner and lunch, too.
Yeah, pizza is definitely our specialty. We do a New Haven-style pizza, which is an East Coast style. But we do some different combinations, mashed potato, bacon. We do a goat cheese and grape pizza, which is a little bit different, but that's one of our best sellers. The pizza is definitely our focus, but great beverage selection, tons of local beer, craft cocktails, 25 wines by the glass. We do not have a freezer in the restaurant, so everything is extremely fresh.
Love hearing that, yeah.
The freshness is a huge, huge part of the restaurant success.
So if anyone's familiar with downtown Park Ridge, they're in the old Pines Menswear building,
that's
and,
right.
And that's where I bought my first suit in seventh grade. Swear to God. And my son, my 16-year-old son, it just outgrew him, but he still wears that suit, and you open it up, and it still says Pines. But even before they closed, which was just a, you know, a couple years before you opened,
yep,
you could get a nice velour shirt in the window. Which is nice.
It's pretty cool being in that space because
it was a bank before that, wasn't it?
It's got a nostalgic connection. Correct. It was a bank. And then I think before that it was a Walgreens. So if you come
really?
In and sit at the bar, you can actually still see on the terrazzo floors, you can still see the old circles where the bar used, the soda fountain used to be for,
wow,
Walgreens. So it's pretty neat. The building's got a ton of history, and like you said, Pines was there for 60 years. So people coming in, they act like they stand where the dressing rooms were.
That's
like
funny.
They're trying that's on funny. A suit.
Yeah. I love that. Well, great food, great drinks, great craft cocktails as well. It's Holtz in Park Ridge, 43 South Prospect, holtzparkridge.com.
Exactly.
And again, brunch is served what time on the weekends?
10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, Sunday. Then normal hours, we open up at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday for lunch service.
Holton Park Ridge, thanks, Brad, for joining us
again. Thanks so much,
and bringing in the goodies. We appreciate it.
Very good.
Yeah, by the way, Brad gave us a couple $50 gift cards. We're going to give those away during the 9 o'clock hour. So we'll do
again,
that coming up.
We don't get a chance at that.
You
do
not get a chance at that. That's not your contract, buddy. We'll be right back. All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show here on Saturday morning from the Allstate Showcase Studio, 720 WGN. So some people put their grills away for the winter, and some just grill all year round, but you can't just fire it up without giving your grill a good cleaning and replacing some parts maybe to keep it in top shape for years to come. Joining us is the guy who's going to break it all down. He's the Weber Grillmaster. It's Kevin Coleman. Hey, Kev.
Dave, thanks for having us again.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. This is what caught my attention a couple weeks ago. You said, you got a grill in the wintertime. You can't just put away the grill. A lot of people put it away in October, and they don't bring it out until April, May again. And I can't tell you how much I love a great steak in the beginning of January.
Ironically, I was thinking about that on the way down here. I was like, it is always good to have a good steak, and this is nice. We're giving away a Q1200, but that's the nice about having those small portable grills is you can get them closer to your house so you can still get those amazing grilled meals all year round and not have to worry about shoveling too much of a path out.
Exactly. Which one of you guys did you just grilled?
Just did some nice prime steaks last night.
See, that's nice.
I grilled my Christmas turkey. And we also grilled steaks for New Year's.
See, there you go.
Yep,
there you go.
And I was worried about, I know the Weber is a great grill, and I have the Weber. What always makes me a little bit nervous is whether or not the ignition is going to work when it's that cold. but it worked. Yeah. Both times, I could not believe it. I was so happy. I brought the lighter with me, though, just in case.
Just
but it worked.
Case.
So.
But you know the other critical thing is when you're shoveling, too, is that path not only has to go out to your yard, but it has to go to the grill.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Well, you have to. And that's the nice thing about Weber being here locally in the Chicagoland area is we test these things in all types of weather. So we know that they're going to work each and every time, and that's exciting that you were able to cook all that stuff on New Year's and Christmas, which we were doing the same thing, so good minds are thinking alike here.
But it is a little different. So what are some of the tips, really, to grill in this frigid cold weather? Because, I mean, we're talking 5 degrees outside and so forth. You obviously don't want to lift that lid too much.
First and foremost, you want to stay hydrated, especially in this cold weather.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of liquid heat that you can put into your body that helps the creativity
and
helps with the grilling.
Liquid heat.
Second, you want to make sure, one, you clear your path. You want to keep your lids down. You want to make sure that if you're cooking with charcoal, use a little bit extra. Use like 20 to 30%. More fuel, that way you're not going to run out. That was something last night. I have two briskets on right now, and I made sure I added extra fuel just to make sure that it could get through the push in this -9 degree wind chill weather that we're having here in Chicago. And then also the iGrill, we're going to be giving one of those away, but that's a Bluetooth device that helps you stay inside more. It doesn't make you go outside because it monitors your food. It makes sure that it's being cooked perfectly, and it actually lets you have more fun inside and not have to worry about
food. Especially in the wintertime, you don't want to keep that grill open, obviously, too long.
I thought that was the man thing.
No. Look, it ain't cooking. He's told that to me before,
Well, in the summertime, when it's nice and hot, that's when you stay outside more. I got to monitor the grill. When it's cold outside, I want to make sure that I'm staying inside and watching the football game, which there's two of them on tonight today, which is going to be pretty exciting. So,
and, of course, it's also getting ready for Super Bowl as we approach that as well. People get out there and throw some steaks out there as well. So there's some things, especially if you have a garage that's heated, pull that grill into the garage and check some of the parts and pieces. It's kind of a good time of the year to do that.
Yeah, the nice thing is if you have a heated garage, pull it in, see what's going on. Obviously, do not cook inside your garage.
Yeah.
Leave it right outside. But that's a great opportunity to bring it in, see if you need to replace anything, get it going. And that's, with the Super Bowl right around the corner, that's one thing that we'll do is we'll do brisket, we'll do shoulder. Any extras we'll save, and we'll use those in the dips come Super Bowl.
That's a smart move. I like that.
It's a nice little fun twist on traditional barbecue.
Do you need to preheat the grill any longer when it's really cold out and hasn't been used for a while? I mean, when it's -10 out and you're trying to get the grill going, I always wonder about, I know it needs all that stuff in there to kind of, keep the flavor going, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
what about preheating time?
That's a perfect segue right in there. Preheating is the most important tip in anything you're going to cook. It brings the grill up to temperature. It allows the grills to caramelize. And when it's colder outside, you want to go maybe a little more 15 to 20 minutes, depending on what you're cooking, that 550 degrees. Because if you don't preheat the grill properly, the food's going to take longer, and then you're going to end up having a little bit of a nightmare. partner on the barbecue. So that's an actually great tip, is preheating a little bit longer in this cold weather.
Is there anything you like making on the grill or grilling up in the wintertime that is a little more comfort food type stuff?
Dave, we're like seeing that, because I was thinking about that. We're walking up, and I'm like, God, it's cold, it's comfort food. Yeah. Brisket's one of those things. Burgers are one of those things, and that's what's great about the queue, is if you can get it closer to your house, you can load it up with burgers, especially around Super Bowl time, load it up with sliders, and there you get some great comfort food that's going to come off. Chili is another great thing I like to do, so I'll smoke. I'll put a pot of chili on one of our grills, smoke it, get some great flavor on, bring it inside. So there's some great comfort foods like those that you can do that really help you extend that barbecue time as opposed to just putting it away for the wintertime.
I like that. I like that. One of the questions is, is what's the best brush to use in cleaning the grill? Because, you know, there's moisture, there's grease that bakes inside the grill, carbonized grease. You know, stainless steel is the best, isn't it?
Stainless steel bristle brush, and I've said it a bunch of times on here. I always use a Weber bristle brush, and the reason why, yes, I work for Weber, but I know they're tested on all of our grates. They're tested on our products, so they won't cause damage, but they're going to last. The other thing with a bristle brush is you want to get one, a new one, every year. Problem with people is they keep them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and they eventually start to break themselves down. So it's always a good rule of thumb. Get a new brush every year.
You don't want to be eating that.
Yeah, so get a new brush every year. Stainless steel bristle brush will remove all the carbonized grease. And the other thing with people is they sometimes use it at the wrong time. So preheat your grill. That's going to pretty much char and burn off all the excess debris, and then you go over it with your brush. A mistake people make is they clean it right after they get done grilling, and that all that excess marinade, barbecue sauce, and et cetera gets gummed up in the bristles, and the brush is pretty much rendered useless.
Parts, flavor bars, cooking grates, burners, all that other good stuff. You know, people always ask where they can get replacement parts from, and of course you can go to your local Ace, your local True Value, and get those type of things there too, but you can also go online, correct? And, or at least to find out what you need.
Yeah, you can go online, but one place that I love going down to is my Ace. They always are knowledgeable. The people on the floor usually know when the grill was made, what year it was, and they actually have the older parts for grills as opposed to some of the newer ones, because people that have older grills are going to need those replacement parts. So always going down to your local Ace is a good idea, just because of how knowledgeable they are about the products.
Texter from 847 says, is it true, hold on a second, it just all moved on me here. Is it true that Weber has a scratch and dent sale at the factory?
We used to have a scratch and dent sale, but because of how much we sell, we haven't had a factory sale in about 5 or 6 years, if I can remember.
Okay, that's John from Gray's Lake. He's a big fan of Weber, though. You guys also have classes that you do, and it's a great time to do that in the wintertime. But it's a class coming up, I think February 24th is the next one, and that's because there's one today.
There's one today at our Schaumburg location. There's another
Weber
one.
Weber Grill Restaurant.
Weber Grill Restaurant in Schaumburg. And it's great if you're going to try to learn how to grill. You want to bring your grilling game up a little bit. Great tips and techniques that the chefs there provide for people that really want to hone in that grilling skill.
Yeah, there's like a little shop over there to go and test things out. And it's a great time of the year to do that as you get ready for spring. But you'll actually grill your own salmon and ribeye and prepare some green beans, and then, of course, doing dessert on the grill. That's a big thing for you.
Desserts on the grill is one of those things, but that's where meat, you know, I call it my four pillars of barbecue. Get a good grill, get good meat, get good seasoning, and then finally the instruction. If you can handle those four things, you're going to come out with a pretty good product no matter what. So they'll help you with that in those classes and then get you ready for the spring when grilling season kicks off.
There's two things we're going to give away. We're going to give away a grill now and an iGrill 2 in a little bit. But tell us first about the Weber Q. What's the Weber Q all about?
So the Weber Q 1200 we're giving away. It's got a porcelain enamel cast iron grate. Retains heat extremely well, and that's important in times like this when it's cold outside. Yeah. You want that grate to hold the heat because that's what's going to caramelize your food. It's also going to keep the heat inside the grill, which is going to make your food cook more efficient and give you better flavor. So it's a fantastic portable grill that people can get. We're giving one away here, so someone's going to be
different looking. Colors.
Different colors. So if you go on our website, there's 5 or 6 different colors that you can pick from, customize them for your favorite sports team or, you know, the favorite color that you like.
I'll tell you what, we'll take the 7th caller, 312, and we're going to do it on the prize line. So keep it separate because we've got a load of calls and texts for questions for our experts here. So we'll do it on the prize line. 7th caller, 312-591-7000. That's 312-591-7000. And we'll take the 7th caller for a Weber Q grill. 312-591-7000. Jane, you got a question about propane gas and grilling in the wintertime.
Yes. My son was going to grill fish, and he got the grill all ready and got the gas and connected it, and it was like it was frozen, and he had had it in the garage. This is when we were having that sub below temperature. And what do you do to prevent that from happening? It was like it was solid.
Well, actually, propane is a liquid, and then it comes out of the tank as a gas. So what I would do is make sure that you're keeping the tank outside of the garage because you don't want to store the tanks inside the garage.
Of course.
It's a hazard thing. And the other thing is normally, unless it's like minus 20, the tanks are good. Now, if there's not as much gas and the gas has gotten, or that liquid inside has gotten down, let's say, to a quarter of a tank, that's when you might have an issue. So it's always a good idea to have two tanks. That way, at least you know you have one that's full, and if the other one's getting close to empty, that could be part of that problem.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Absolutely. And then tell us about the IQ grill.
So the iGrill that we have is a Bluetooth device that hooks up to your phone. It's got temperature ranges. You can control it. You can actually monitor your food, everything that you cook on the grill without having to be outside, and that's really important when it's cold outside because you don't want to be running in and out and opening the lid and taking the food on too long. So this will monitor your food, cook it perfectly every time, and it's a great addition to your backyard.
All right, we'll do that in a little bit here. And we do have a winner for the Weber Q Grill, and we'll announce that name in just a little bit. We'll do that off air just to save some time. And again, a great place to get parts and learn about the grills a little bit more as you get ready for spring. You just go to Weber.com.
Weber.com or your local Ace.
And, oh, here's Pete McMurray. Our own Pete McMurray, Weber Genesis, the Cadillac of grills. He loves his. Thanks, buddy. Thanks,
we
buddy, for
that.
Texting in. But, all right, Kevin, always a pleasure.
Dave, thanks for having us.
All right, 312-981-7200. We'll be taking your calls and text coming up next on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini. Greg, you are the winner of the Weber Grill, Weber Q Grill. Congratulations to you, pal.
Hey, fantastic. Nothing says winter like a Weber grill, right?
That's right. That's right. And as soon as you get it, you fire it up, buddy. Thanks again.
I'm excited. You made my day. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Hang out on the line a little bit here. I brought Kevin back because we got a couple more questions that came in. Moving into a new house, do natural gas hookup or propane? Which one is better?
Either one is going to be better. The natural gas, you're never going to run out as long as
that's what I like.
The line is running, yeah. So it's really convenient. The only thing is you can only move it about 12 feet because that's how long the hose is.
Yeah.
Propane, you can move it, but if you're going to keep it somewhat stationary, I would go with natural gas just because you never run out.
847, I'm grilling an egg and bacon pie in a cast iron skillet right now in my Weber Genesis, but in this weather, the knobs are harder to turn. Am I going to damage something by forcing it? That's Brad from Cary.
No, you shouldn't. Actually, what's happened is the knob itself is probably contracted a little bit because of the cold. You shouldn't really have a problem. More important, can you just, you know, text me your address so we can come over and sample that and make sure that you're doing it.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Thanks, Kev. All right. We're going to take let's see here. Who's been waiting around for a while here on the line? Peter, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Yeah, listen, with all that grilling going on, have you guys got a grill going on in the studio there? I'll take a ribeye medium well.
Medium well. Would you like mushrooms with that?
Yes, sure. Why not?
What's your question, Peter?
All right. With regard to a hot water boiler in our home, I notice a slight drippage of water coming out of that, I guess, is it that pressure valve on the side of the furnace out of the pipe? Just a slight drippage. Is that any real problem?
That's the relief valve, probably.
The relief valve, right.
If it's starting to leak, you're probably going to need to get that replaced because it's starting to fail. Not mm-hmm. like you got to do it tomorrow. But I would call your plumber, your HVAC, whoever maintains that for you, and relay it to them and have them come out and replace it.
Okay, very good. In the meantime, I'll take the Bloody Mary on the side, too.
they were really good Bloody Marys, too.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Have a great Saturday.
You too, guys.
All right. Barb, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too.
What's your question? You got some issues with the dryer vents.
Yeah, I've had a two-parter, okay? We moved in a rental, okay? And the dryer would blow out through the garage, the vent.
Like into the garage?
They vented it into the garage?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Now, is that a question? Is that a code thing or that's okay?
So is it a gas dryer?
Yes.
Yeah, I would definitely, yes, that is a code problem. There's carbon monoxide that is a byproduct of burning natural gas, so that should definitely be venting outside.
Yeah, not good.
Now, if it were electric, though, there is no hazardous byproduct of heating air through electricity, but with natural gas, there definitely is carbon monoxide that needs to be vented directly outside.
Gotcha. Okay, now we've moved in, left that rental to another rental, and when I do clothes and dry them, I mean, I'm getting lint like crazy off the clothes. I do a lot of laundry.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Got a lint coming out.
Oh, a lot of lint.
A lot of lint.
Yeah, and lint scream. Yeah. Is it due to because of what I was going through with the old house or the old rental?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what would cause more lint. It's a different dryer, did you say?
Yeah, I have a different dryer. We moved to another rental. Yes.
My guess is that the collection of the lint is better on the on the new dryer that you have. In other words, the screen that's actually catching the lint is tighter, so not so much as venting out through the duct, but it's actually being caught in the lint trap. With that said, you know, you should always make sure that your dryer vent is clear of lint. So you should have that cleaned out at least every couple of years just to make sure that there's not a buildup of lint in there.
Thanks for the call, Barb. Appreciate it. And one more question was, when again was the grilling classes? So I'm going to go back to that. Weber Grill Restaurants, just go to their website, which is WeberGrillRestaurant.com. And the class is on, next one's on February 24th, 10 to 12 p.m. in their Schaumburg location. So you can check that out there. And again, Kevin Coleman, thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you soon.
Thank you for having us, Dave.
All right. We're going to give away a Weber iGrill 2. It's a great Bluetooth device to check the temperature of your meats. We're also going to give away April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, and that's all going to be in the 9 o'clock half hour. 312-981-7200. Mike Holmes, Jim.
Sullivan. I got this. You want me to take it from here?
Yeah, just take it from here. I've had a cold for like a week. I'm like
just fine.
I told you four of those Bloody Marys was too much.
Yeah, too way too much. Mike Holmes, Jim Sullivan joining us next on 720 WGN. And it's Dave Plyer filling in for Lou Manfredini here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. We've got Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan in studio. Gentlemen, good morning again to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. The city's starting to wake up out here outside the showcase studio.
Right,
people
finally,
are moving around. They're knocking the frost off themselves.
Yeah, moving slowly, right. But they are moving. Mike, you're with Creative Carpentry?
Yes, I am. How'd you know that?
I have it written right in front of me. And that's creativecarpentry.net, and you do, you know, everything, home remodels, kitchen remodels, bathrooms, whatever's out there. And some commercial stuff, too.
Yep.
Jim, same with you. Tate Enterprises, TateENT.com for more information on Jim. But you also home remodeling and so forth.
Yep, mostly interior. I do room additions, kitchens, bathrooms, basements, all the good stuff.
Very cool, and we'll make sure we post all that at WGN
Radio.
Oh, I
do all the bad stuff.
Yeah, he does all the bad stuff. Nice, nice. The competitors right across from each other here. Let's see, who do we have on the line here? Larry, you're on 7... No, I'm sorry, John, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I have a question about caulking.
Okay.
Okay, once I cut the tip open and use it, that's it. I might as well throw it away. Now, do you have a trick how to keep this caulking too pliable? Now I'm talking maybe next year, a year later. I've used tin foil on it and duct tape to keep on the tip to keep it pliable. No good. I've used nails in the tip and wrapped that. No good. In fact, I couldn't get the nail out. And I've tried cellophane wrap with electrical nuts on them, and that doesn't work. Is there some kind of trick where I could keep this big tube? I don't need all of it.
Well, if you're talking about for a couple of years, no. Once you kind of open it, it's going to go. If you want to keep it for maybe a month, I do wrap it with cellophane and electrical tape, like you say, and let you have a removable tip type. Then I'll remove the tip. I'll clean the tip out. And then put cellophane and screw the tip back on. That kind of helps it too. But, you know, for what are you paying, you know, a latex caulk, a few dollars, you're not going to get it to last 2 years. I'm sorry.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, why can't they make something 6 inches long instead of a whole foot? You know what I mean?
Well, then you need a whole new caulk gun.
Mike, no, but Mike's point is right. In some of the better caulks, they do have removable tips. You don't see it very often at Ace or whatever, but you see it out in the trades quite often, actually, where the tip's removable. Because, like you said, it does allow the caulk to last longer because you can screw the tip off and then change the tip. Because it's always the tip that's bad, not the caulk.
Yeah. Yeah. There you have it. Thanks for the call, John Kerry. You're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm Miss Lou, but glad to hear you guys. Hey, Dave, are you going to be on tonight with no sleep?
I'm going to be on tonight with no sleep.
He's working now, sleeping.
I am working. That's what it feels like. Yeah, we got Terry Fader on tonight, Reverend Jesse Jackson, all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, cool. I'll be listening if I'm awake.
All right.
But my question is, I live in a 1896 Victorian home, structurally great, and it's got most of its original windows, all really structurally sound, beautiful wood. But it's getting to the point where they need some maintenance. For instance, a lot of them were painted shut from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So inside they look beautiful and not a drop of water. They're structurally great.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of sashes are broken. Don't want to replace them because I don't want to mess with, you know, the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
But who would I go to basically, I need like a maintenance restoration, not major. I mean, they're perfectly fine, but who would I go to look for somebody to do that?
Go ahead. I would say the area that you're in, are you in a historical district?
Kind of. I'm in Sycamore, so yeah, we've got this house should be on the National Register, but I don't want it on it.
Okay. Well, if you're in a historic district, contact them. They may have a list of sources for that kind of repair.
Okay.
You can also contact the state. They may have some. There was a gentleman out in Aurora that did them, and I'm sorry, I cannot think of what his name was, but he rebuilt windows. It's just a matter of doing a little research, but a lot of historic districts have a list of contractors to do mortar work because that's kind of a specialty in older homes,
right.
and wood restoration and things like that. So that's where I would start and see if you can find somebody in your area.
I have two suggestions as well, not including those. One, my painter that I use for exterior, he will do window reglazing as part of the painting. So he'll scrape off the glazing on the outside, scrape off the paint, and then he will glaze. So you might try a good painter. That's one for exterior glazing work. But if the sash is needing to be rebuilt and you're looking to find somebody, Lee Lumber on the south side near Comiskey Park, they used to make custom sashes. And if you bring in your sash to them, obviously in the summertime, they had a woodworking shop there and they could make them up as a replica as to what you had. I'm not sure they still do it. It's been a long time since I've been over there, so I would call first. But I know they used to make custom sashes. I saw it for myself.
There you have, Kerry.
Cool. Great ideas.
Yep. You know what? Hang on there. What we're going to do is I'm going to give you a Weber iGrill 2. It's a Bluetooth device that helps you control the temperature of the steaks and all that good stuff. And you get to see exactly, not control it, but you get to see from the warmth of your home if your steaks are done. It's a really cool device. And if you'll hang on, I'll have Casera get your information, Kerry.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy. All right, Fred, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning. Fred.
Yes.
Hi, Fred. How are you? Got some pipes banging.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I've got a steam heat boiler, and I have all kinds of banging and noises. It's like living in a haunted house.
How long has it been doing this?
Well, I was doing it for a long time, but on a minimal basis, and then I got a new boiler, a new furnace.
Okay.
And now it's been, the noises have increased.
Have you talked with the contractor that installed it and let them know that this is happening?
Yeah, they've been a little disappointing.
Oh, because it could, you know, it's hard when they change the system. It's hard to say what it could be. So typically, and I do nothing with steam work, I would call a plumber or your HVAC, whoever installed it, and talk to them. And if you're not getting any response from them, try someone else and, you know, see if they can narrow it down. You might be able to go back towards your other, if they did something wrong, you might be able to go back to the other contractor and have him supplement you somehow.
Yeah, my sense would be just to sort of try and pinpoint what the problem might be, my sense would be that there's probably a pressure difference between the old system and the new system, and it goes back to the pipes moving or yeah, things like that, that's happening in between the walls. But yeah, you have to have somebody come out and take a look at it and try and isolate where the sound is coming from. So the more information you can give to the person that's actually diagnosing, the better off it is for everybody.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, buddy. Appreciate it. Steve, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you. Steve.
R2-D2.
Steve, you there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Not much. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I had a couple questions. We're building a new home, and we haven't poured the concrete yet in the garage. And we want to know if there's an additive or something you can add to the concrete to make it non-slippery.
Oh, non-slippery. Not that I'm aware of. Relevant. Most of it has to do with the finishing, but yeah, but you do want it pretty smooth because the more coarse it is, the harder it will be to clean.
Yeah, in the garage, if you get any oil on it or anything like that and there's a texture to it, it's going to be very hard to clean.
Oh, I've heard of people applying some type of sand in the finishing process of some sort, and it allows you to have a little bit more grip in the garage, which you guys are...
That's usually...
I have not seen that.
That's in a paint finish. You know, like they'll add sand to a epoxy paint to give it a little bit of a non-slip texture to it.
Right.
But now if you're going to do that, and you're sealing the concrete with the epoxy paint, it'll be easy to clean. And you could add the sand to that to get a little more texture.
But that has nothing to do with the installation of the concrete. The concrete gets installed normal, and then months down the road...
Yeah, it has to cure completely, then you apply that epoxy paint.
Yeah.
Great. So it's an after the concrete goes in.
After it's fully cured.
Yes.
Oh, great. Well, thank you very much, guys. Just wanted to say hello to my family, Emily, Nicholas, and Caroline. Thanks a lot, guys.
Very cool. Hey, Steve. Okay. Steve, hey, how about taking them out to brunch? I'll give you a $50 gift card to Holt's restaurant in Park Ridge. Great new place. Great brunch, great dinners, all kinds of good stuff. You want to hang on?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, guys.
My pleasure, you're Steve. Welcome. Thanks so much. Hey, Anna, you're on 720 WGN. You got some issues with your front porch steps.
Yes, I do. Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Excellent.
On your front porch?
Well, no.
I was standing on the front porch.
So sorry. Our house has the typical cement riser for the front porch.
Okay.
And then the previous owner installed brick to make it's a beautiful hardscape. Mm-hmm. But what we're finding is the brick on the front edge of each step is failing. They're cracking off. So I suspect that there's a problem with the brick. No problem. We can replace that. But I'm just wondering if replacing it is something we can do ourselves, or do I need to have somebody come out and do that? There's no grout between the bricks. That looks like they're adhered with, like, construction adhesive or something.
They're like landscaping brick?
There's a
product they sell in a caulking tube. You can get large format, and you just use the caulking gun and you squirt that out. But you got to take the old ones out, clean off the space well, make sure everything, you know, is all the old adhesive is taken off, so when you put the new pieces down, they're not sticking up too high. But yeah, sure. If you're somewhat handy, you should be able to take those off and clean off all the old mastic or adhesive and get your new bricks and just glue them in place.
Now, can you tell me, I just wonder why the bricks have failed. Is it something like with age they dry out?
It's hard to say. It shouldn't be that, but if you're talking about the very tip of the edge of the step,
Yeah.
Well, they
and,
could...
and there's no overhang. I mean, they're flush with the concrete riser. There's no overhang or anything.
It could be a number of things. I mean, if you've had appliances brought in from the front or through that entry and they had hand trucks coming up on it or things like that could affect it. They're not really like a high impact thing. They can handle a lot of pressure, but not a lot of impact. So it could be something that way. If you're putting salt or anything on the steps, that could affect it also.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we may have done that a few times here in Chicago.
Yeah, there are some products out there that are concrete. They say concrete safe. That's what you'd want to use, that type of salt product.
Is there some kind of sealant we should put on these bricks?
Yeah, they do make sealant that you can apply on it once you've installed it, and it's all dry. You don't want to do it right after it rains or anything. But there's a sealant you apply on it, and that keeps it from taking in moisture, which then in the winter when it freezes tends to crack it also.
Right. Awesome. And that's something that your average Joe could handle.
If you're somewhat handy, yes. I mean, if you have to cut the brick and stuff, that's going to be a little more involved, but it's not a real complicated situation, especially if you're just doing a few pieces.
Okay.
There you go.
Wonderful.
Thanks,
Anna. Thank you so much.
Have a great Saturday.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We're going to take more of your calls and texts. 312-981-7200. Dave, Mike, and Jim coming up next. 720 WGN. All right. It's Dave Flyer and for Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show here on 720 WGN. And there's some really cool new measuring devices that are out there right now. And joining us is Brandon Ebel. Did I get that right?
Ebel.
From he's the product manager, Brandon Ebel from Bosch Tools. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Tell us a little bit about some of these products that you brought in here today that we're going to share with our listeners.
Yes, I brought in some of our new laser measures. We have a full range. They're at Home Depot, Lowe's, Amazon, pretty much anywhere online. And they really just streamline measuring further distances in your house. If you're moving and you want to do like a floor plan, if you're doing some window sealing or buying furniture, stuff like that.
Yeah, actually, been working with Brandon for quite a while, and I've got one of these tools, so I have the professional grade. He's got the homeowner type version.
Sure.
But they're awesome. You know, the amount of time it takes to do stuff is just, you know, amazing. Plus, you don't need two people when you get those real long lengths. Go ahead and tell them about what this product does. I mean, you can talk, too, about what mine does,
yep.
But let's start with the one that we have for the homeowners.
Yeah, I think the thing, like you mentioned, it's an instantaneous measurement. So it's a single button, and you literally press it against the wall, and it hits back. Right away, you get the measurement. Another thing we have built in is real-time measurement. So as you're moving through the house, so maybe you're not at the place where you want to start measuring, it'll actually be pinging measurements the whole time you're moving around the house. So you can get that exact measurement from the exact point you want.
Yeah, so say you've got a 50-foot-long room, and you go, look, I want to be about halfway. You can take this thing and walk to 25 feet. And it'll tell you, you're right there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, these are laser measuring, there's stud finders, there's other elements of these things too. There's line lasers, point lasers, rotary lasers, so there's a whole really line of all these pieces.
Yeah, correct. So Bosch does have a whole line, so you can really use this technology in whatever you're doing. Whether you're doing laying out pictures on a wall and you want to make sure everything's level, plumbing's a big use case with these as well, that you see a lot more of the pro guys switch to with the lasers, and then measuring is starting to build as well. I think the big thing is realizing it's not necessarily replacing your tape measure.
Okay.
You're still going to use that in the cut to measure type stuff, but for the longer distances, if you have stuff in the way, like
layout,
like doing
stuff's
like
always
that.
In the way.
Yep.
Stuff's always in the way.
Well, you know, I'll go into somebody's basement and you got to measure a basement and you've got a hole length of a basement, and you're going over furniture and,
and
tables and all that kind of, and you can literally just take this, hold it to the wall, snap it, and you've got your measurement.
So there's a consumer line of this, but there's also commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Line of this,
man,
too.
You should see some of the stuff that comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, some of their high-end stuff is amazing what it can do.
Wow.
But, you know, when these things first came out, it was probably, you know, 15 years or so ago, and I got a couple of them, and I try it and do three measurements of the same thing and got three different measurements. This thing to the 32nd on mine.
32nd, correct.
Exact. Every time.
Wow. That's fantastic. Time. So we want a couple of our listeners to try these out just so you can take a peek and see how these work. But these are 65 foot laser measures, right?
Correct.
Pretty basic, and this is for more consumer?
Yeah, it's a single button point and shoot.
Okay. So we're going to take the fifth and seventh caller on our contest line just to kind of keep it separated from the calls coming in. 312-591-7000. That's 312-591-7000. What is the value of these things?
Those ones are $50 at Home Depot, Lowe's.
Okay.
Right now, Home Depot's got them for $40.
Yeah, so I see them go on sales as like certain holidays come up and all that.
And I'm sure we can find them at our sponsor Ace's stores as well, Ace Hardware. So 312-591-7000 is the number for these. We're going to give two away to our listeners. It's a laser measure from Bosch. It's a 65-foot length. 312-591-7000. We'll give two of these away. Brandon, he's a product manager over at Bosch Tools. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Lou Manfredini on this Saturday morning. Glad you've hung out with us all morning. Also hanging out is Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry. And for more on his company and all your remodeling needs, creativecarpentry.net. Same with Jim Sullivan with Tate Enterprises. You can catch him at TateAENT.com. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You're well fed.
Yes, we are.
You got your bloodies. Yep, absolutely. Let's see here. Let's take our next caller. Kim, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. My dryer is now taking twice as long to dry the clothes. Like, it needs two cycles where it used to need one. Is there anything I can do?
When was the last time you had the dryer vent cleaned?
Probably 8 years ago.
Yeah, probably time to have the dryer vent clean. You could try going, if you have access to it and you're fairly handy, you could try going directly to the back of the dryer and disconnecting that pipe and seeing if there's any debris there. But 8 years, I would probably just have somebody come out and clean the dryer vent. There's companies that come out and specifically just do that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. There you go. Thank you. Jim, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning. Jim, turn down your radio, pal. What's going on?
Okay. Radio's down.
Okay.
I got a question for you. I know
yes, sir.
It's not the time of year to do this, but I have a detached garage with asphalt shingles, and the north side of my garage shingles are turning black. Is that mold, or is there some kind of chemical I can use to rinse it off?
It's probably sap from trees. Yeah, are there trees over the top of it?
There's no trees there at all.
No trees over there at all. Then it could be a little bit of rust maybe coming from the nails underneath the shingles. Sometimes you'll see streaks from the nails.
Is it streaks like something's leaking down the roof, or is it the whole thing has gotten...
It's the whole thing. The whole side of north side of my garage roof is like black.
But it's only the one side.
It's only the one side, yeah.
And only the garage, not the house, on the north side. Well,
only the garage, not the house. It's a detached garage.
Yeah. And it gets just as much sun as every other side of the garage?
No, it's all on the north side.
So it's getting so it's shaded more. So, I wonder if it is, like I said, I'm thinking nails, moisture not drying out.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, the whole thing, because then it makes it sound like there's a issue with the shingle that was put on that side of the roof, but normally it wouldn't just be one side.
The garage roof is 15 years old.
Yeah,
well, but I say it's only on the north side of the garage only.
Yeah. Well, you certainly can try cleaning it. I mean, I don't recommend you just going up on the roof and scrubbing it, but there's products that you can hook to a hose.
Or wet and forget.
Yeah, like a wet and forget kind of a thing.
I have a power washer.
You don't really want a power washer.
Yeah, I'd be afraid you'd blast all the aggregate off of it.
Yeah. There's some product, I can't think of a specific one, but you attach it to a hose. And it's safe for grass and all of that, and you can spray that from your hose up on the roof, and it'll help control some of that. I want to think you'd probably get it at like Acer or one of the box stores, but I don't know the specific name.
Okay. So it's just not that my shingles are getting too old. It's just like maybe mold or something like that.
Typically what happens when a shingle starts to fail, the edges start curling up. Yeah. Staining really isn't a sign of something deteriorating on the shingle per se.
Yeah, there's just something on it that's either growing or you know, like a mold or something like that.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it, pal. Have a great Saturday. Dave, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hello,
Dave. Good morning. You got a leaky toilet? I'm so sorry.
No. That was my fault. Yes, I have a very, very small bathroom, and I need to pull the toilet out and put in a new wax ring. But I'm having a hard time because there's such a small space. Is there a wax ring that I can just stick on there and set it down?
As opposed to.
Well, as opposed to the other ones, because every time I do, it just squishes. You know, I can't get it centered right.
Oh, well, you know, if you're saying, like, as you're trying to position the toilet, you're not getting it directly over before you set it down and it's compressing the wax?
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, got it.
You know, they have the waxless toilet rings now. Why don't you try one of those?
That sounds good.
Yeah, you can get them at the big box stores, and I'm sure Ace sells those too. And you just attach that to the floor, and you can just drop the toilet right over it, and they work pretty well from what I understand.
Yeah, it actually goes on the toilet.
There's a few versions. Okay. Ones I've seen have little ears that go over the bolts, the toilet bolts, and then you drop the toilet on top of that. But just follow their instructions, but they work.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave, for the call. Appreciate it, pal. Joe, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning. Hi, Joe. Hello. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. What's your question? You got some upstairs plumbing issues?
Yes, it's our upstairs bathroom, and I think we've created the problem. I get good cold water. I get absolutely no hot water. Mm. And the problem is I replaced the valve stem, and it still didn't do any good. So I'm just wondering what would be the next solution. Is there any way to rot out that hot water pipe?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm sorry, you say you replaced the rod spin. Can you be a little more specific on what that is?
Well, it's a single handle faucet, you know, that you turn the knob to the right for cold, to the left.
The cartridge.
You took the cartridge out?
Yeah.
And is it just this one particular faucet that you're having trouble with?
Yeah, and we have a vanity, you know, probably 3 feet away from it, and we get good hot water there, so I just can't understand why that. Is there any way you can reverse the flow of the water somehow?
No. But did you try the shutoff valve underneath?
There is no shutoff valve because this is a tub. You know, it's a tub.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You said vanity, and I was thinking the vanity.
Yeah, the vanity's right next door. My sense is
something's wrong with the cartridge, that it's not opening all the way in the new cartridge that you put in. Did you replace seals on the cartridge, or did you just replace the entire cartridge?
I replaced the entire cartridge.
And are you sure it's the exact same one that was in there before?
Yeah, it's the exact same one. I went to this place up on Dempster Street here in Martin Grove. They got everything, and he got the numbers. And
why don't you try taking it out and bringing it back to him and ask him if he can give you another one? And then this time when you do it, make sure there's nothing in the pipe, like any of the old cartridge that got stuck inside any of the plumbing pipes that might be restricting flow when you took the old one out. But take it back apart, pull that new cartridge out, and try bringing it back. It is possible that maybe you got a defective one that's not opening all the way. It's the only thing I can think.
The one other thing you can do, but you need a couple people, and you got to be very careful. But I've had the same problem where I went to pull a cartridge out, and the cartridge was just deteriorated. It was in a shower that they apparently didn't use for a long time, and it dried out. So when I pulled that cartridge out, I had one of my guys go and start turning the main on just a little bit so that we could get water coming through that valve without the cartridge in it, and it blew out a couple little pieces of the O-rings, and then shut the water off, put a new cartridge in, and it seemed to be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
But you got to be really careful because if you open up that
can get ugly
quick,
really
there's
fast.
Water everywhere.
So, if you open it up slowly.
Very slow. And you have two people so you can yell back.
Walkie-talkies or cell phones or something. Some way to communicate.
All right.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Well, you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
All right, yeah, thanks, Sal. Appreciate it. Hello. Hello, and you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Hi, Helen. What's going on?
Well, I want to know, can you remove mastic that's under plastic tiles on under plastic tile under a plaster wall?
You can. The problem is, and again, understand I'm a contractor, so the problem is that the amount of time it will take you to scrape that off or sand it or whatever, and the damage that you'll cause to the wall, and the amount of time it will take to repair it, it's easier for me and for us to cut the wall where that mastic is and just replace that wall section. To answer your question, though, you absolutely can. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to do quite a bit of damage to the wall, which is going to require patching anyway. So sometimes it's easier just to remove the wall. Mike, do you have a different experience?
Well, I was just going to say, if it's a homeowner just wanting to do it themselves.
Mike.
I have just turned a blind eye to this. I'm sorry. I don't know a lot about it. But I would say if you can find out who the manufacturer of the blinds are, talk to them, because they shouldn't curl.
Right.
They're designed to be in a window and take a lot of heat, so there might be something wrong with them. How old are they?
3 years old.
You know what? See if you can find out whose blinds they are and give them a call and tell them what's going on. They might repair them for you.
Yeah, it sounds like they're drying out. Maybe is there an old window behind it, like an older window?
I had all the window frames. Everything was new.
Okay.
And it's an older house, but when people come in, they say, "How old is this?" And I tell them, and they go, "Come on, it looks young."
Yeah.
But, it curls up, and we got to walk around in the dark in the living room.
Well, you know, it's not an easy thing to say over the air, because we can't really see it, but I would say call the manufacturer and see what they can do.
Yeah, sounds
okay.
A good effect.
Well, I thank you very kindly.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for the call, Amy. Thank you so much. All right, this segment is sponsored by Townstone Financial. We're going to be taking Lou's last call coming up next, so don't hang up that line. I'm going to pick one of you guys. We're going to give away 2 tickets to the new Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Very cool exhibit. We'll talk about that next. 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Flyer back with you on 720 WGN, filling in for Lou Manfredini this morning. Segment is sponsored by Townstone Financial, and we'll be taking Lou's last call. We're going to be giving away 2 Saturday Night Live The Experience tickets at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It's a very, very cool new exhibit, and it's a hot exhibit right now. We're going to be doing that in just a few minutes, but I've got one call coming in. Let's see here. Hello, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning. Hello. Is that Emma? Hello, Emma. Good morning to you. It's my daughter, Emma. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
What do you want to ask?
My shower has a gap in it.
Mm-hmm. Has your dad not fixed that yet?
Yeah, no, he has not fixed it yet.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with him?
What's wrong with them? So there's a crack. There's a shelf in the shower, and it looks like at some point the house had settled, and now the shelf has cracked, and now there's a big open gap between that and the tiles. I pretty much have to rip all that out, don't I?
It depends. I mean, if it's just the shelf isolated, can you take that shelf out and put in a larger shelf?
Ooh, that's a great idea. I like that. Emma, that would solve the problem, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Let's ask Emma. Let's.
You know what? Uncle Mike and Uncle Jim are going to come over later today and take care of that for you.
If he keeps doing these bloody marriage, you never know.
Thanks, sweetie. Love you. Have a great day.
Love you, Dad. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye bye. All right. Lou's last call. Ken, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning to you.
I'm now.
Ken, good morning.
Good morning. I have a door leading from the house to the garage. And it seems like it's really hard to open up or close when the weather gets really cold. Is there anything I could put on it to stop it from sticking like that?
Can you tell where it's sticking? Is it like at the side of the door, or is it like at the threshold?
It's like at the side, but the top part.
Okay. Because it can be a couple of things. I mean, the house could be settling. You know, if you can take a look at it real close, when the door is closed, that gap between the door and the frame, look, it should be the same all the way around, the same distance all the way around, like maybe the size of a nickel all the way around.
Yeah.
Okay.
What it is, it's a manufactured home.
Okay.
And when the temperature gets to be about normal, then I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Almost like swelling or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. That's always the issue this time of year, or when there's real high humidity in the summer, you'll get that too. The only thing you can do is try to adjust that door just enough to make it work now, because if you go too far in the summertime, you might have a big gap there.
And adjust it, meaning you may have to play with the screws a little bit on the hinges.
Yes, yes. Which could be another case, too. You might just have some loose screws on the hinges, mm-hmm. so check those.
There you go, Ken. Hope that helps. Okay. And you know what? We're going to give you two tickets to the Saturday Night Live exhibit, the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. And if folks want to see it, you can go to museum.tv and buy tickets right through there as well. It's now through the end of the year. And if you'll hang on the line, Casera, we'll get your information, Ken.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, buddy. All right. Hey, my thanks to you guys. Today, Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan. Mike, creativecarpentry.net.
Thank you.
Is your place. And Jim Sullivan, Tate Enterprises. Again, from all your home modeling needs from both these guys, it's creativecarpentry.net. And Jim's is TateENT.com.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
We want to update on this shower.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give it to you when you come over a little bit later.
Send pictures so we can approve the work.
All right. John Williams is coming up next on 720 WGN.